Gronkowski was on it, and Gronk, I think it would be fair to say, does not have a fine-tuned singing voice. I think that would be fair.
Okay. Well, that would...
So I think that there have been some where it's like, man, that dude seems like he's having a lot of fun. And also, I thought this was a singing show. Not everybody has a gifted voice on the program. Now, many do. They have a lot of professional singers that have graced the stage over the years. But, yeah, sometimes...
But they're wearing a full costume.
They are indeed.
Does it sound like this when they're trying to sing?
No. It comes across very well. Oh, they have the microphones right up in the costume, and yeah, they always sound
very interesting. Well, since you said yesterday, you and Brad Pitt are like this, you know, so I...
Well, no, it's just that we happen to look alike. I don't know him. I'm not personal friends. It's just one of those things where...
Look alike.
Everybody, you know, we all have those doppelgangers, and it's just just a weird coincidence that we both happen to, to look a lot alike.
Yeah, okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Word of the week, by the way, is doppelganger.
That's right.
If you don't know that one, look it up.
All right.
Doppelganger. So there we go. Doppelganger. Okay. Anyway, we have guests this week, but not today. All right. Now, you could be the guest. That's why we said 814-954-7266. You don't have to sing if you don't want to. You can call and talk about sports, news. Trust me, we got a lot of stuff here.
All little tap dancing performance wouldn't hurt a darn thing. A nice poem. There are some alternatives.
How are you going to do tap dancing on the radio?
Well, I'm not. I don't have the appropriate shoes, knucklehead. If I had the appropriate shoes, I'd put the microphone right here and I'd get up on the little table and do my tap dance routine that I'm so famous for.
I don't know. That might be tough on the radio, but well, if you want to try it, folks, hey, we're game. All right, we're brave. We do have some good guests this week. On Thursday, local state representative Kerry Benninghoff's going to join us. Yep. We're sort of restarting our series of interviews with some of our local state officials. So we'll talk state issues. We'll talk Rockview. You know, this whole thing about Rockview and should it stay open, should it close, and so on. So we'll talk about that. Tomorrow, if you're a Penn State sports fan, you want to make sure you listen tomorrow. All right, our friend Steve Samsel is going to join us for a time tomorrow. They're doing a Penn State Sports Hall of Fame vote right now. Have you voted yet, Mr.
I have not yet.
Oh, well, I have voted. Okay.
Very good. Yeah, I will vote, but I have not voted yet.
And so Steve contacted us last week to say, hey, we're doing this vote. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I looked it up. I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. So Steve's going to join us for a bit tomorrow to talk about this vote. Who should be the initial inductees into a Penn State Sports Hall of Fame? And they have a list, sort of an initial list. And it's from a...
Well, no, they have the full name spelled out.
Well,
okay. They're not using the initials.
Thank you.
That would be very confusing. It's like, well, which JS are they talking about?
Let's see.
Which MK are they talking
about? SB, I mean, who could that be? I don't know. JP, who could that be? I don't know. Think about that one for a while. But Steve's going to join us tomorrow, and so they're looking for voters. They want to get a good, you know, a large number of people voting. So listen for that. That'll be very interesting tomorrow. Speaking of voting, all right, come on now. Admit it. We all like Penn State Creamery ice cream.
Well, yeah.
Well, hello. All right.
Second best ice cream.
Now, granted, it's March Madness.
Well, it is, Matt.
They're into the second round now of voting, and they've been doing this for a couple years now. They've been having fun, even though my partner is still outraged.
Outraged.
Outraged. That the, what's it called, bittersweet mint, which I just call like mint...
Death by Chocolate.
And Death by Chocolate have been far and away winners.
Mandatory retirement.
And they've been retired because they figured
outrageous.
They're, you know, it's kind of like Penn State wrestling. Well, why should they show up? We know they're going to win. You know, that sort of stuff. I'm surprised somebody out there isn't saying that. Well, come on, they just win every year. Just let them go. Everybody else can wrestle.
They're taking away from Butter Pecan their Wyatt Hendrickson moment against Gable Steveson. They're taking away the opportunity for one of those other flavors to get their big moment and knock off the rating champion thought to be impossible to beat. Nope, not even allowing the possibility.
Sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, that's okay. Just outrageous.
But the vote is on. They're into the second round. Now, anybody can vote in this gig, okay? And let me call up...
Wait.
What?
Not Aunt Ethel. I mean, yeah. She's Looney Tunes.
No, Aunt. Well, okay, it doesn't matter.
We're going to let Aunt Ethel vote in this?
Anybody. Well, you got to
see if you let Aunt Ethel vote, Butter Pecan really could beat Death by Chocolate.
Does Aunt Ethel have access to the internet?
Well, from time to time, she's given permission.
I figured maybe she's up there and she's not an internet person. Or
no, something. They will walk her down every now and then and allow her to.
All right, well that's good.
Get on the computer. So
I guess.
All right, even
so, the website hard. You can all do this, and of course they want you to do this. Creamery.psu.edu. All right, not a surprise there. And then you can they're into the Elite Eight. They're into the Elite Eight right now. And one of the cool things is, all right, you vote. Obviously, there's four pairs. You pick something. When you vote, you immediately see what is the current vote. Like, what's the current percentage? Which I kind of like. I thought maybe they would kind of keep it secret, but they don't. They say, well, okay, here it is. Now, we'll tell you what the four pairs are. We'll even help you. All right, here we go. Now, you say you haven't voted yet. I have voted.
I have not.
All right. So the one pair is chocolate ice cream against peachy Paterno.
Just regular chocolate.
Yes, just regular chocolate ice cream versus peachy Paterno. All right. Then we have chocolate chip cookie dough versus peanut butter cup. Mmm, boy, that's tough.
That is a tough one.
Then there's alumni swirl against happy, happy, joy, joy. I'll be honest, I'm not sure what that second one is exactly. I mean, I've never had it at the Creamery, that one. And then the last one is WPSU coffee break versus cookies and cream.
Ooh, that's a tough one, too, I got to tell you.
Now, it's interesting. All four of these, again, as soon as you vote, you see the current percentages.
Uh-huh.
Three of the four right now are very, very close. We're talking very close, like 51-49. We're talking really close. One has a little bit more of a space. Okay.
Okay.
Is there a deadline? Wait a minute. Is there a deadline on this? I'm looking for a deadline. Well, if it's in here, I'm not seeing it. In other words, you need to vote by a certain date. So they're going to get from the Elite Eight, obviously, to the Final Four. They do this each week. So maybe I'm assuming the deadline is like this weekend or something to vote in the Elite Eight. And if you do that, you can even get a little discount on something. So this is a great marketing ploy. Smart. So get out there, creamery.psu.edu. You can do this on your phone, all right, and you can vote and see who makes the Final Four. Who? All right, here's something. I've never done this. Bucket list. I have never gone to a Broadway show, as in on Broadway, in New York City. Have you ever gone to a Broadway show, yes or no?
No.
Never have. Okay. I never have either. I'd love to do that sometime.
Yeah. Right?
Obviously, great shows. We hear about them all the time. You know, Hamilton and lots of other great musicals and so on. Well, they're not all musicals. All right. Sometimes they are just plays. Apparently, on Sunday night, there was the opening of a new play. Now, if you know your Shakespeare, you've heard of Othello. That's a very famous play. There's apparently a new rendition of Othello, which you might think, well, that's kind of boring and dull.
Well, that's kind of boring.
No. This has Denzel Washington, the famous actor, as Othello. Jake Gyllenhaal, the famous actor, is Iago. All right, the two most famous characters from that play. They only have a three-month run. Apparently, they're only going to do this till like the end of June, because these guys, obviously, they're like movie actors, and they probably have other, you know, upcoming roles they have to play and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to go see this thing, it's not going to be there for long. It's only going to be there from now until late June. If you want to go see this thing, you better pull out your credit card.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Because right now, at least, if you want to get a good seat, it's only going to cost you $921 for a ticket. Oh, my gosh. Now I know why I've never gone to a Broadway show. Huh. $921 for a ticket. Why-ya-ooh-ah-yo. Okay, that's a lot of money. Has anybody noticed that, now granted, they've always been expensive, but Super Bowl tickets, of course, are ridiculous in some cases. I'm wondering, we've got the, you know, the college basketball tournaments now. Once we get to the Final Four in a week and a half or thereabouts, you know, what are the going prices for that? You know, if you wanted to get a ticket to the Final Four, a lot of money. So I'm $921 to go see Othello. I think I'll wait for the budget version. All right. I'll wait for the version that comes to Penn State, you know, Eisenhower Auditorium or something. That won't be $921. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? We have, where'd it go? Here it is.
There it is.
Now, we've discussed this on the show before, folks. There, the state treasury, Pennsylvania Treasury, has unclaimed property that may belong to you.
Yes.
Did you know that? Now, we talked about this, weeks ago, whenever this was. And I thought, all right, I want to look this up just for fun. And so I went to the Pennsylvania State Treasury website, do a little web search, and find the thing about unclaimed property. Okay, you put it in there, and you can search for a name. So I put in my last name, thinking, oh, okay, what the heck. And my mother's name pops up on the screen. And I'm thinking, really? And I'm thinking, is that my mom? And did a little digging, and apparently, yes, it's my mom.
Hey, hey, hey.
So I let my siblings know. I have a brother and sister. I let my siblings know, like, guys, did you know about this? And both of them said, no, we had no idea. So something, I don't know, maybe it's a life insurance policy, maybe it's some other kind of something from a bank. My mother passed away 5 years ago now. And so I applied. Now, it took weeks. If you think you're getting something, you're not getting it tomorrow, okay? It took weeks for them to get back to me. They finally got back to me like a week and a half ago. And they essentially said, well, okay, there's a connection here. They need to see a death certificate. I'm thinking, okay, I don't have that. My brother does. My brother, who's retired and traveling the country right now, I'm thinking, okay, bro, hope you're having a good time, man. He's like, yeah, I think I have that at home. I'm like, oh, what, you don't carry mom's death certificate in your trailer?
Not having it with you at all times? Come on now.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you should have
about it.
It's like your passport. What were we talking about yesterday? Passports. So we got to wait for him to get home, and then we'll pursue that. Well, they're doing an auction of unclaimed property. Now, this is for anybody. Apparently, now this is weird. They have unclaimed jewelry. Unclaimed currency, that'd be, money. Unclaimed collectible coins, just things. Stacy Garrity is the state treasurer. She says over 5,000 items are going to be on the auction block. Now, here's the thing. The auction is tomorrow and Thursday.
Huh.
So this isn't like weeks and ahead. It's tomorrow and Thursday. Now, again, if you go to the State Treasury website, just Pennsylvania State Treasury website, do a web search, look for the, in this case, this is the auction. You have to register on the website to have a chance to, I guess, bid on this stuff tomorrow and Thursday. But if you're going to do that, you better do it today. All right? You better register today.
Yeah.
So that you can, take care of that. Then we have this. Now, I live out in the country, okay? I live out in Amish. I have Amish neighbors. Nobody, okay, UPS and FedEx deliver stuff, okay. But this other delivery stuff, nobody comes my way. I don't get pizzas at my house.
Nobody.
Nobody comes to my
house. Oh, it's such a lonely
Now, time. You live in a residential area, so you can do delivery, right? You get a pizza delivered.
Sometimes. That's another story for another day.
Oh, okay, well,
apparently there are times where we're not on the delivery.
Oh,
route.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too far away.
So have you ever done like either DoorDash or Uber Eats?
Have not.
I think there's a third one out there where if you live in more of a like a city or a residential area, you can order from, I mean, goodness, you can order from McDonald's. Or Taco Bell or something.
Never heard of
it. And
these
they will, oh, yeah, right.
McDonald's.
And
I
they will
up.
Bring the food to your house, okay? DoorDash is one of these. I've never used these again because I live in Booneyville, okay? I'm not sure. I saw this story.
I think that's pronounced Looneyville.
Looneyville.
Yeah, you got it wrong.
I'm not sure this is a great idea. But I came across this story a couple days ago. DoorDash has a new partnership with a company called Klarna. Now, Klarna is a finance company. They handle money stuff. So it says DoorDash has a new partnership with Klarna to let customers take out loans for food deliveries.
Well, there you go.
Does anybody else think that's dumb? If you have to take out a loan for food deliveries, maybe you shouldn't be doing food deliveries. If you actually need a loan to get it done, where you're paying interest and all that other fun stuff, I just saw this. I'm thinking, I don't think that's a good idea. Somebody's going to run up a debt just due to food deliveries? Do you have a kitchen? Come on. Have you ever heard of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Come on, think about it. It'll come to you. Huh. All right.
Sounds like an interesting combination.
That's a little bizarre anyway. And finally, before we take a break, if you thought you had a bad day.
I thought I did.
No, not like this.
No.
All right. A couple days ago, over the weekend. Uh-oh, look out. There's the peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Oh, boy.
Couple days over the weekend. All right, that was fast.
That was fast.
A big plane took off. A United flight took off from Los Angeles to Shanghai, China, over the Pacific. They get apparently an hour or so out, and they have to turn around. So the plane has to come back. There's like 280 passengers on this plane. They had to turn around and come back. In this case, for whatever reason, they flew back to San Francisco and had to land. Why did they have to do this? Because one of the pilots forgot his passport.
Ah, well.
Oops.
I thought he just had to use the restroom.
No, he forgot.
Well, they have him right there on the
He forgot his passport.
Oh,
so apparently if they had kept going and they would have landed in China, who knows what this pilot, I don't know, they would have arrested him or something because he forgot his passport. Do you think you're having a bad day? Let's see what this person has.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk. Got that going for you.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a couple of suggestions. One, this $920-some ticket for Broadway. Do they think they're at Beaver Stadium? $20-some ticket.
give it a couple of years.
Or yeah, the NCAA wrestling championships. Yeah.
Secondary, Scott, and bless your mother's soul. Maybe the thing that she's got missing was you. that she didn't want to claim.
Oh, well, whenever my brother gets home, we will eventually find out. I'm not rich, okay, because I know my mom. My mom was not high income, you know, paycheck, all that.
Secretly, she was withholding billions of dollars from your family.
Well, if that's true, then I'm out of here, bud.
I can understand. Enjoy.
So, whoops, we appreciate lost the phone. All right, thanks for your call. Yeah, we will see what occurs with that. I'm not holding out giant hope. But
well,
just seeing her name on the screen, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my mom.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
What could this be? My siblings have no idea. Like, we don't know what this is. Mom never told us. So something got overlooked. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, right now, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have our sports segment. Got to get used to saying "Oh no!" Apparently, no.
Oh yeah,
that, and his first name, which I can't.
Oh no! Oh no!
We will come back right after this.
Back here on a Tuesday morning, it's Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Tell your friends. It's just a good time all day long. Two pros and a cup of Joe kicking things off this morning. Dan Patrick following us. Joe Ludnowski. Those hilarious guys, Goon and Ironhead, will be airing today
from
2 to 4. Oh, they just
they're funny
knee slappers. They are down at Quaker Steak and Lube. 4 to 6, it'll be Jed Donahue, and then we're back to Fox Sports at 6 o'clock, and of course, lots and lots of baseball and softball rolling your way here in the spring. Let's see. Let's start with the big news of the day, and we will have the weekly rate wager here for Mr. Geezy and yours truly. The Penn State baseball team back in action hosting Pitt. then Bucknell tomorrow. But Pitt today at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park, 5:30 will be the first pitch. And yes, with it being a Tuesday, it is a dollar dog night. Mr. Geezy?
Well, we got nice weather again today.
Yes, indeed. We go to you. How many hot dogs will be consumed? Well, at least purchased. We can't verify the consumption. I think most of them will be consumed. But
how many people
we say consume?
How many people get those? They put them in their pocket.
They just
take
throw
them
away.
You know?
Yeah, it seems like unlikely, but I guess possible.
All
but
right.
How many hot dogs will be purchased on this dollar dog night at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park? What say you?
I was low last time, so. Well, is this the Price is Right deal where if you go over, you lose or something? Or is it just who's closest?
Just who's closest.
All right, thank you
very
much.
We're just doing who's closest.
7,082
says Mr. Geese. You're a little low.
You think I'm low again?
Yep, you're a little low. Let me just write this down so that we can compare the notes tomorrow. I don't think they're going to quite get to 8,000, but I think that is the territory we will be entering tonight.
That's bold.
I have 7,863 hot dogs, ladies and gentlemen, that will be consumed. Let's see what you folks do this evening at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park. I would love to be there to watch Penn State beat Pitt. Always, always a good time to watch the Nittany Lions beat the Panthers. 5:30 first pitch. Kiddo has special event with the scouts tonight. They're going over to climb Nittany, and we're doing some rock climbing.
Oh, cool.
And Looking forward to watching him and his den mates have some fun. So, unavailable for Dollar Dog Night MI, but I suspect many, many of you will turn out. Additional reason, not only do you get to see Penn State beat Pitt, not only do you get to consume anywhere between 2 and 20 dollar hot dogs.
Is there a limit?
Per individual, there's no limit.
There's no limit.
There is no limit. Unlimited dollar dogs tonight. Also, added bonus, the first pitch tonight will be thrown by the Penn State women's volleyball team. That would be your national championship. Penn State women's volleyball team will be on hand. Again, tomorrow it'll be Penn State and Bucknell, but, you know, no dollar dogs. Penn State is 16-7 on the season. Pitt comes in at 14-9 on the season. So Pitt will be 14-10 after tonight's game. Nittany Lions improving to 17-7. We'll have all of the relevant data, including the number of hot dogs eaten, on tomorrow's sportscast. Stay tuned.
Does Penn State do this? Now, next week, we're going to have a State College Spikes guest on, right? One day?
Yes.
Is that next week?
All right, yes.
Next week.
Joe Putt.
They do, right. They do Bark in the Park night.
They do.
Does Penn State ever do that? I'd love to, you know, I could
question.
Come tonight.
I
could come tonight and bring my dog. Otherwise, I have to leave the dog at home. Do they do that? I can't.
I believe so, but I honestly will have to check it.
All right.
I don't know that.
They should do a Bark in the Park night.
Absolutely.
I would bring my little guy Domino.
Always a good time.
He loves hot dogs.
Yep. always a good time at the ballpark.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Japan's Manasa Nosuke Ono.
You sure?
I got to keep practicing.
Okay.
The reigning world freestyle champion at 61 kilos has committed to the Penn State wrestling program. He made the official announcement yesterday. This has been fairly well known in the Penn State community for a few weeks, but it is now official. Ono, of course, had trained with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, preparing for the match with Spencer Lee that they put together last month, and that Ono won. Now, all of his experience that I'm aware of anyway, and I'm sure all of it to this point, has been in freestyle. So folk style is a little different, a little more demanding in terms of the the lungs component, if you will, being able to withstand 7 minutes and kind of the nonstop, and obviously the top wrestling and the bottom wrestling a little different in the college ranks. So we'll see how he transitions to all of that. And no official word just yet on exactly where he may go. Many speculating that 133 may be the more natural home collegiately for Ono, but he'll be taking classes at Penn State and, again, will be part of the Penn State wrestling team next season.
So who's at 133 right now?
Well, Braden Davis and Aaron Nagao out this year with injury, so they do have a hole opening up at 141 with Bo Bartlett's departure. Of course, Marcus Blaze is coming in. Again, we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out, but that is a pretty big get for the Penn State wrestling program. Finally, it looks like they could be a real player on the national scene next season.
Oh, we hope.
Huh?
Oh,
yeah, this bodes well.
Ooh, for hold your breath.
Future of the program. Center Miles Goodman, a former four-star recruit who was the highest-rated member of the Nittany Lion basketball team's recruiting class last year, has now entered the transfer portal. We're not taking calls right at the moment. We'll be taking them in the next segment.
We'll take calls in a few minutes. Not right now.
6 foot 11 inches, 225 pounds. Goodman averaged 1.2 points and 1.4 rebounds over 13 games this past season. He joins guard Javon Carter and forward Hudson Ward as players who are entering the transfer portal, all three from that class of 2024. So Penn State with some rebuilding to be sure for next season. Former Nittany Lion basketball player Evan Mahaffey has entered the transfer portal once again. He had transferred from Penn State to Ohio State and spent the last 2 years with the Buckeyes after a season with Penn State, and now he again is back in the transfer portal. Penn State women's gymnastics team earning a bid into the 2025 NCAA championships. Penn State will host the regional action at Rec Hall April 2nd through the 5th. Penn State will compete in session 2 on Thursday, April 3rd at 1 p.m. So, again, Penn State serving as one of the four host sites for the gymnastics regionals on the women's side. Penn State will host number one LSU, number eight Michigan State, number nine Kentucky, 16th ranked Arkansas, along with Maryland, West Virginia, Michigan, and Ohio State. Penn State will be taking on Michigan State, Kentucky, and Ohio State in that second session. Again, that'll be on Thursday, April 3rd at 1 p.m. Rec Hall will become the home of the regional tournament April 2nd through the 5th. No sessions will be held on that Friday, so it'll all be Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Former Penn State linebacker Curtis Jacobs has signed with the Tennessee Titans. Jacobs recently released by the Patriots after spending just one season with New England. The 23-year-old linebacker appeared in 9 games last season with the Patriots and had 4 total tackles. The Pittsburgh Steelers signing, I don't even know how you say it, Lasitis Smith?
I have no idea.
An offensive guard off of waivers from the New England Patriots. Smith was drafted in the 6th round of the 2022 NFL draft, was selected by the Cardinals. Since then, he has had stints with the Texans, with the Eagles, with the Packers, and most recently with the Patriots. You know, the term I would coin for somebody like this would be a journeyman offensive lineman.
That's a good,
I just came up with that. I see if that catches on.
That's good.
A journeyman offensive lineman. Yeah. He's a big boy, 6 feet 3 inches tall, 314 pounds.
Big boy.
He's got some, some girth to him. He's appeared in 18 career NFL games. Get that mirror out of here, you jerks. 26 years of age is Mr. Smith. Lasitis, Lasitius. You say Lasitis. I say Lasitius. You call it tomato. We call the whole thing. With a new era of college athletics approaching, Penn State hiring a former letterman to a new position. Aeneas Hawkins, who played defensive tackle for Penn State from 2018 to 2021, before starting his career in the NIL world for Penn State. He's been hired as the program's Assistant Director of Advancement and Revenue Sharing Strategy. You're going to see more and more positions along these lines as teams, programs, athletic departments continue to try to navigate this new wild world that we're living in. And I tell you, Aeneas is a great, great guy. We've did the post-game show for a while years ago on Penn State Football Saturdays. And a very sharp young man, and that is a really good hire my opinion, for Penn State. And again, they're just trying to get a handle as best you can on everything involved these days, and it is a lot that you're trying to manage, and getting the right people in the right spots is going to be a big deal. Pittsburgh Penguins will be at the Lightning tonight, face off at 7 o'clock. Flyers are at the Maple Leafs tonight, also a 7 o'clock start there. Pirates wrapped up spring training with a 5-1 loss to the Twins. Phillies picked up an 8-6 win over the Rays. Pittsburgh Pirates will open up the regular season tomorrow. We will have that game.
Whoa.
And all of the Pirates action on Thursday.
Thursday.
Yes, on Thursday, 4:10, first pitch, 3:40 will be the airtime right here on Sports Radio, 98.7 The Fox. Phillies will open up the season on Thursday at the Nationals. Yeah, I was thinking that tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow's just Wednesday. We're going to keep that same pattern where we just not going to vary it up.
Sorry.
Why not try it for a week? See if throw Thursday in there right after Tuesday, push Wednesday back. No?
Then we do that leap day thing. That just messes everybody.
Nobody's willing to join me. No. Okay, fine. We'll just keep it in the same old order.
Sorry.
Boring.
Now, Paul Skeens is pitching, I'm assuming, Thursday, right?
I've never heard of him. Who's this fellow that you're talking about?
Yeah, sure, right. Okay.
And
then Paul Skeens' girlfriend's coming here next week.
Hey.
Right? She's a Livy Dunn, the gymnast from LSU. Although, she's injured, I think, right now. Isn't she hurt? I think she's hurt. But doesn't matter, because everyone just wants to look at her anyway.
What?
I mean, look at her on social media. Boom! About. All right, there we go.
I just appreciate good
gymnastics. So, there we go.
I don't know.
All right, now, Mr. Ono.
Yes.
Is he here already?
Yes.
He's here now.
He is.
He could be listening to us.
Well, that is certainly possible.
There we go. Now, all right, now, you're Mr. Wrestling, I'm not. How much of a learning curve is there from freestyle to folk style?
Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve there. I mean, obviously, from the neutral position, it's not much. But the mat wrestling and the conditioning is just different with folk style. And especially during the season, it's just a different type of conditioning and kind of wrestling shape that you need to be in to go through the rigors of kind of the week in, week out competition. That's not the norm in freestyle. Freestyle, you prepare for months at a time, go to a competition, get through the competition, 2-3 minute periods. Again, not nearly as much mat wrestling. And then You start the cycle over. You have 2 or 3 months. So, listen, he is a terrific wrestler. I certainly think worth getting excited about if you're a Penn State fan. But for folks that are thinking, man, just automatically he goes out there and dominates everybody and wins because he's winning on the world stage. You see it all the time in high school and college wrestling where there are guys that are dominant on the freestyle route, and then they're pretty good. I mean, rarely do you see somebody who's great at freestyle just be awful at folk style, or vice versa. But there is, there's a difference. I mean, it just is a different style of wrestling. And when you've not been exposed to it, which Ono, to my knowledge, has not really been exposed to it, it is going to be a learning curve. And, again, he's a terrific athlete, great wrestler. I mean, I think he'll pick things up. This staff is amazing in its ability to teach technique and to go over things. So, it's not like he's just, you snap your fingers and okay, voila, now you have everything you need to do folk style. It's a transition and there's a lot involved. Now, he has a lot of time, between now and next season to go over it. And again, he has fantastic workout partners in that room, great coaches, the whole bit. I mean, I think he'll transition well, but Yeah, to sit here and say definitively, yep, he's just going to dominate whatever weight he goes in the college ranks. We'll see. Again, I think he's going to be very, very good. But, yeah, it's different. The mat wrestling in particular is different, and it's just a different going through a college wrestling season is hard. It's hard on the body, hard on the mind. The consistency with which Penn State wrestlers have competed here in the Cal Sanderson era is... I understand fans appreciate it. I know they recognize. I think it's still underappreciated just how remarkable what they are doing with as much consistency as they are doing it is. I would argue that college wrestling, going through a college season and then winning a national title there, I think in many different ways is more difficult than winning an Olympic gold medal. It's just you are putting a different type of demand on the on both your body and mind. And by the way, you're doing this while juggling classes, like you're having to go to class during the day. Again, when you get to freestyle, it's very difficult. I mean, I don't want to make this sound like, oh, yeah, freestyle is just, but you are, if your job, for most of these guys, obviously we have a lot of college kids that are competing in the freestyle circuit, but a lot of these guys are, I mean, it's their job, and they're, you train specifically for, you know, three or four competitions over the course of the year, and you can kind of build up and you go through a cycle. College wrestling, I mean, you will do some training through and things, but you can't, like, you gotta be ready to go and compete in the dual meets and then the tournaments, and obviously you're still looking to peak then, for the postseason events, but it's a lot. College wrestling is a lot. So very exciting. I think Ono will do just fine, but yeah, it's different. It'll be a transition.
So why is he doing this? He doesn't have to do this.
Yeah, I think he loves Penn State, one. I think, he came over to train with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club because he had respect for the program, wanted to get what he thought would be the best preparation for the matchup with Spencer Lee. I think winning that match doesn't hurt anything in terms of his mindset and what he thinks about Penn State. And I think he wants to get the education that Penn State can provide. And so I think, you know, everything kind of lined up here nicely, both for him, certainly the wrestling program, open to the idea of, yeah, well, we'll take another world talent, in this room. That's not going to be a bad thing, for the guys that are in the room, for the program, et cetera. So, and, you know, personality-wise, I think he fits in very well with this Penn State squad. So, yeah, it's exciting. There's no question about it. It adds another little shot of adrenaline, and I think will create a little added interest to a team that didn't necessarily need more adrenaline or added interest, but there you have it anyway for next season.
Yeah, these guys are on another planet, all right? Come on, let's just be honest, they are. All right, while we take a break, now I was seeing coverage of this yesterday. Two things. One, I saw a video clip of Mr. Ono, who seems to be a bit flamboyant.
Yeah, he's fine. He's got a personality.
I mean, he's not going to be a boring wrestler, this young man. And apparently, according to one blurb, his parents own a soy sauce company. Free soy sauce at Penn State wrestling matches.
Nothing wrong with that.
We will come right back.
A Tuesday morning in play here. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266 if you want to join in The conversation this morning.
All right, a little bit more sports stuff. We got newsy stuff in the next hour. Something that happened yesterday, and some newsy stuff. So we'll save that for a little bit. Heck, you want to take a call? That was
sure.
Because someone did call earlier. We asked you to call back. I think they did.
Yeah. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Morning, guys. It's Horace from Pittsburgh.
Horace, how are you? How are things? Are you in South Beach yet, or you're on your way today?
It is spring.
Like, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, like, I feel like I should still be living in Packer Hall, or at least Park Place.
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, the Packer Hall days.
Yeehaw. All right. Love you, morning, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it, as always. The Deer Horse checking in from Pittsburgh. Yep, big birthday yesterday. And while we're on the subject of birthdays, a big happy birthday to my wife, who turns today.
Yeah, keep that to
yourself. If you can believe it, she doesn't look a day old, and she is celebrating.
Did that not cut the microphone?
No, yeah, today is her birthday, and that's weird. Happy birthday to Marissa Vasiri, the founder of the Jana Marie Foundation. Amazing work that they continue to do, and to celebrate her birthday, she will be out there helping kiddos and battling the stigma around mental health, trying to create connections for our young people. And then, you know, in her off time, what she does is the den leader for the Cub Scout troop that'll be rock climbing tonight. So to celebrate her birthday, we'll be heading and watching a bunch of youngsters, which actually I don't think there's anything she'd rather do than be around the youngsters and watching them have some fun with rock climbing tonight. But a big happy birthday to my wife, Marissa Vasiri. If you see her today, wish her a happy birthday.
And she has to put up with you.
Well, it's no easy task.
I mean,
no easy
task. It's like hazard pay or something she should get. All right, you basketball freaks out there, we're now into the Sweet 16 for both the men and women. What's your bracket look like? Actually, how many upsets
so far?
I'm thinking the men's side. How many?
I'm perfect.
How many ups? Oh, please.
No, I haven't missed a game yet.
Yeah, because you didn't pick any of them, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'll show you the bracket.
I don't know. There weren't that many upsets. You know, just there weren't. So, I gave up doing the bracket thing years ago.
Well, that was Dan Patrick's show yesterday. It's March. Meh. This.
Yeah, it's like, okay. We're waiting for the excitement.
There's
here.
Been no Wyatt Hendrickson over Gable Steveson, we'll tell you that,
no.
in the NCAA championships on the basketball side.
Now, four teams from the Big Ten are on the men's side.
Seven you got from the SEC. That is crazy.
You got Michigan State. Go green, go white.
All right, Michigan State.
And Michigan and Purdue.
And Maryland.
And somehow Maryland. There's more arguing about that last play in the Maryland game.
I can't believe that.
The third step is almost a dead giveaway.
What?
So the NCAA is turning into the NBA.
Didn't see anything.
Over on the women's side, the newbies, USC and UCLA, are in Maryland. Now, they're celebrating in Maryland. Both their teams are still playing.
And both in pretty dramatic fashion.
Yeah. I watched.
That was a long game.
I watched
Maryland
the end of
Alabama.
The Maryland-Alabama game last night. I mean, it was exciting.
And I think it finished up about 5 minutes ago.
I mean,
that went forever.
One girl from Alabama scored like 45 points in this game. Like, she couldn't miss. She had three free throws at the end of the first overtime just to keep them in it.
Yep.
You talk about pressure? Now, that's pressure. She nailed three. Boom, boom, boom. If you missed the bad news from last night, late game USC, Juju Watkins is the golden girl, I would say, of college basketball this year, or she was. Early in that game last night, who are they playing? Mississippi State, I think. She driving down the floor, crumples to the floor, torn ACL. Oh, man, are you kidding? Torn ACL. She's done, obviously. And now, I don't know, what is the standard now for rehabbing from an ACL? 6 months? 8 months? Something like that?
Yeah, not nearly what it once was. But, yeah, I would say 6 to 9 generally is a pretty...
So will she be ready by October when it's time for next season or even November? Who knows? But, I mean, she went down, and it was obvious as soon as she went down. She grabs her right knee, and we're thinking, oh, man, I'm watching this clip online. I'm thinking, oh, are you serious? Because she's a terrific player. Yeah. She's the golden girl. Well, was the golden girl this year. Now she's done. UCLA still won by a mile last night. But without Juju, I don't know. We'll have to see there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's take a break right here.
All right,
we got plenty of things. We got some newsy things. We have some, I don't know, maybe slightly controversial things. We've got some Donald Trump things. And, oh, yeah, speaking of brackets, CNN has come up with their 2028 presidential bracket.
Oh, boy.
For both the Republicans and the Democrats.
Oh.
They even have them seated.
Is that right?
So get ready.
All right.
We will test you later on. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Light Cummings Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Light Cummings Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox City College.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you again. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266 if you'd like to join the program. Just a quick little story from the NCAA tournament. It'll dovetail, I suspect, to whatever Donald Trump news we want to get into today.
Oh,
but
boy.
The President of the United States, of course, was in attendance at the wrestling championships on Saturday.
How close were you?
And about as far away as you could possibly
really?
Be. So they had us up in the where they do the hockey broadcast. So we're in the booth high,
way up,
high above the arena floor. President was on the floor. They had a little section on the floor in the one corner, and there must have been 20 to 30 seats in that box. And different people would come and go as the evening played out. Obviously, Secret Service all over the place. They sent out, even before we got to Philadelphia, to the media, hey, heads up, President is going to be coming, there's going to be additional security, recommend that you leave as much as you can in the building because everything will be thoroughly checked and all of that. It'll be additional time. They'll be searching vehicles when you come in on Saturday, before the event Saturday night. So we go over, and they are, it was just interesting. They, as you drive up, they have a tent set up, and they had, when we went through, now we get there about, a little over 2 hours before the start of the, this was in the morning session. I'm guessing this got even tighter, if you were coming in just for the afternoon session or for the evening session, coming in the afternoon for the evening session. But we get there, early, and they had one dog, and you would, they ask you to exit the vehicle, everybody in there, leave any belongings you have in the vehicle, and they just, you pop the trunk, you pop the hood, they look at everything, they bring the dog around the entire car. I'm not exactly sure what all they're checking for. Obviously, I assume explosives are number one. I don't know what all else they may be checking for, but the dog just walks around once. They have it go up, all check out all of the seats real quick. And then they're like, all right, everybody can get back in. You go on your way. I really thought it would be more of a tie-up. Now, it may have become more for the evening session. Again, once I'm in there, I'm there for the day, so I stay in that building, and I'm working on little notes and grabbing a little bite to eat and chatting with people and all of that. So maybe this changed up later in the day, but we go through, and I have my book bag with all of the, my notes and the computer and all of that stuff. And I'm like, oh, this might take a while. Again, we're there plenty of time, no worries. Yeah, it was like 2 minutes. They did a thorough check. I mean, she opened up everything, looked through. She's like, ah, you're good to go. Thank you. But it was quick. It was much, even the car search, I'm like, oh, my gosh, if they're checking every car, like how backed up is, but they had a team, and they, again, we got there probably about 2 hours and 15 minutes beforehand. As we were walking up, two more dogs were walking down. So they clearly, as the lots were going to be getting busier, they were having more dogs. Now, I'm not sure exactly how far out. The media lot, we were told, would be, I don't know if they did that. I don't think they did it with all of the vehicles all the way out, but the media lot is obviously pretty much right next to the arena, so they were doing pretty thorough checks there of the cars. But it was interesting. Reading through, I have some friends who are more on the liberal side of the spectrum, shall we say. They were very upset that the president didn't seem to be paying attention to the wrestling. Well, the reason he wasn't paying attention to the wrestling was people kept coming over and talking to him, including Jim Jordan, who obviously is a big wrestling fan. And again, I have no idea what all they were talking about, but like Caroline Leavitt was there, couple of the senators and a congressman from Oklahoma. But like Bo Nickel was in there for a while. Again, he's become pretty good friends with the president, he and his family. And it was interesting. So I'm reading comments, and I we're all going to look at everything through our own spectrum and see things the way we want. There were some people I saw that were upset because they felt like the president's entrance upstaged Carter Storace. And if you don't know, Storace, for whatever reason, the ESPN said would be the first bout of the night. So Storace and Kekizen wrestle. Storace wins his fifth national title. He celebrates. I don't know the exact timing, but I mean, he had celebrated for, in my mind, it was at least a few minutes. I mean, I think the celebration in the moment had well subsided. And we knew all of this was planned out, of course, ahead of time. So they told us it'll be Storace Kekizen, and then the president is going to make his entrance, and he'll leave probably after the eighth bout. That was the expectation. So I'm looking down, and president's staying there in the box. Well, he ends up sticking around, of course, if you saw the heavyweight, because Hendrickson salutes. Well, it turns out, I guess he had the chance to meet Hendrickson prior to this and wanted to stick around, even though the schedule had him leaving before that. He wanted to stick around also. And this is just the funny thing, that people, there was a lot more coverage of this in the mainstream media, if you want to call it that. This got a lot more coverage because of Hendrickson's win and the president being there than most NCAA wrestling championships get. regardless of who the president is, like that is a good thing for your sport, like getting the additional coverage in a sport that is, you know, a niche sport. It's not what the NBA or college football or basketball is. So this is clearly just a good thing for the sport. The wrestlers, by and large, and there may have been a few that are, none made a big spectacle of it, like I'm turning my back on the president, but the overwhelming majority of all Americans, after they received their awards, went over and posed for pictures, and they had an official photographer down there. And again, I really would be saying this if it was Barack Obama or, Joe Biden, and I certainly do not like the politics of those individuals. I despise Biden just across the board. I think he's I think he's a despicable human being. He was the president of the United States. Would I begrudge anybody going over and getting their picture taken with the president? No. That's a pretty cool opportunity. The president of the United States came to watch your event or be at your event. And yeah, I'd go over and pose for some pictures. The number of people that took, now again, a lot of, the overwhelming majority of people I think were also like, even if you're not a Trump fan, say, ah, no, that was kind of cool, and, or just indifferent to it. But there are the people out there, I can't believe they would, president just wanted them to grovel. He wasn't asking them to grovel. First of all, they went over voluntarily. It wasn't like the president summoned them. They went over, and it's like, hey, could we get our picture taken with you? Yeah, this is cool. At the end of the day, it wasn't that big of an inconvenience. Again, speaking for me personally, different people, you may have encountered different experiences. I didn't think it was that big of a deal in terms of the inconvenience factor. Now, again, we get there way early, and I'm in the building all day, so maybe I'm not seeing some things that occurred. But no matter who the president is, there is going to be some inconvenience. You have to have that security, and you have to have, the president is a busy individual. Like, you gotta get him in and out when he needs to get in and out. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. I thought it was pretty neat. Elon Musk was there. David McCormick obviously was there and clearly enjoying himself. I thought it was pretty neat. And again, I'd be saying that even if it was name the president. It's still a cool thing to have the president of the United States attend your event. And I think the wrestlers, recognized that and wanted that moment, where they could remember that. So, that's my two cents on the president being
there. And they put you a half a mile away.
Well, yes, that was probably a wise choice.
Way, way up there someplace.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway. I thought it was neat.
What's his name? Hendrickson?
Yes.
Was for Oklahoma State. But he was part of the Air Force Academy,
yep.
So if
he's
I read this properly,
second lieutenant.
He's a second lieutenant.
Yep.
So when he did the salute, this is the second lieutenant and the commander in chief.
Yep.
I think some people were, oh, what's the salute for? He's a member of the Air Force.
Yes.
That's the commander in chief standing over there.
Yep. Yep,
all
pretty
right.
Special
so,
stuff.
Again, take, the haters and whatever, just put that away. They probably, Oklahoma State. Oh, no, Air Force Academy first. So that's the reason for the salute. It wasn't all show. It was official. I'm a member, and that's the commander-in-chief standing over there.
Yep,
so there we
absolutely.
Go. Absolutely. All right. All right. Now, okay, we'll morph into this.
All right, let's morph.
Because this is crazy. CNN desperately is looking for people to read their stuff. There's no other way I can describe it.
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
And so they have their 2028 presidential bracket.
All right.
Okay.
It's madness, I tell you.
Well, this is.
Uh-huh.
And they have the Democrat side and the Republican side.
All right.
Now, somehow they managed to find 16 people on each side. Okay.
Wow.
Again, this is a bracket.
Yeah.
And so if you do the bracket gig, you know, you got number one against number 16, number two against number 15, and so on. I guess, I don't know if they want people to vote on this thing. I just printed it out yesterday.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with the Democrats. All right. Now, you may disagree.
Democrats.
That's okay. You may disagree. As soon as I saw the Democrat bracket, I just thought, oh, please. The number one seed.
For the Democrats?
For the Democrats. The number one seed.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Michelle Obama.
Actually, she is not in the 16.
Really?
She's not listed anywhere.
I mean, 16. I think that's right, but I really am actually stunned that she would not be on.
It surprised me.
16 people and she's not.
She's not on the list.
CNN.
Now, she's never been a politician.
No,
she hasn't announced anything.
No.
It's other people saying, you should run, you should
run. Yes, I'm just surprised. Wow.
No.
Okay.
She's not listed at all in the top 16.
Wild.
The number one, according to CNN, the AOC? Number one seed for the Democrats is Kamala Harris.
No.
That was my reaction.
Oh. Let's go.
No, Dems.
Listen, if you're listening to us this morning, I really think Kamala learned her lessons. She's going to apply them. And that is who you should run in 2028.
No.
I think she can do it.
No.
Democrats, you got to rally behind Kamala Harris. Absolutely. No, this is that's your leader. Let's get this done, Dems.
No.
I'm trying to help you out. I think you can really win with Kamala Harris. That's your presidential candidate in 2028.
Whoever,
get it done, Dems. You got this.
Whoever did this CNN bracket had way too many medicated drinks.
No, do it.
And then what's hilarious, again, this is a competition. So you got one against 16, 215, and so on. The number 16 seed is Tim Walz.
Really? Okay.
Like, okay.
All right.
Maybe somebody at CNN has a sense of humor. I don't know.
Where is Josh Shapiro on this
the
list?
Number
two, not Meyer Shapiro, the Cornell
The
wrestler.
Number two seed is Josh Shapiro.
Ah, okay.
See,
ahead
now,
of AOC.
I think he should be the one seed. But here he's the number two seed, which is interesting enough.
Yeah.
Okay. The number 15 seed is Gina Raimondo. Now, if you don't recognize that name, she was part of the Biden administration, former governor of Rhode Island. And actually, on these brackets, a lot of governors on these two brackets, which is very interesting in itself. Three seed Pete Buttigieg. No.
Come on, Mayor Pete, getting it done.
No.
No, I think Mayor Pete's your second best option, Democrats.
If you don't
go Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg he can do it too.
Okay.
Either one of them, that's your, and if not either of them, AOC. AOC. Those are your three.
Hold on.
One of them. Come on, Dems. Please.
Okay.
One of those three.
You want to be more Republican?
Huh? No. I'm trying to help them out. I would really sit down and seriously consider one of those three if you'd
run. Open line program, ladies and gentlemen. So three seed Pete Buttigieg against 14th seed Cory Booker. Senator from New Jersey. Gavin Newsom is the four seed.
Yeah.
Now the third. Okay, so this is where this is like somebody have a sense of humor.
You think Gavin might be wanting the position, do you?
The 13 seed is Stephen A. Smith.
Good Lord.
The announcer from ESPN. Who every now and then he talks about politics,
on his show. Michelle Obama, I mean, has, come on.
Okay. Five seed is Wes Moore. Now, if you don't know that name, you should. He's next door. He's the governor of Maryland. Okay. Number 12 seed is Andy Beshear, who's the governor of Kentucky. Let's see. Sixth seed is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan.
Yeah.
Against 11 seed Rahm Emanuel. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
The 7 seed is J.B. Pritzker, who was the governor of Illinois. See the governor thing here? The number 10 seed, here he comes from the back of the pack, Big John Fetterman.
Hey, get now, that hoodie up.
I'm a little surprised that he's even on this list, because he's Mr. Unpopularity with the Democrat Party right now.
Well, but there they want to win? That's the question. They want to make a real run at this.
For whatever reason, AOC is the 8 seed.
Wow.
That's surprising. Because she's getting a lot of PR right now.
Yeah.
The number 9 seed is Ruben Gallego. Now, if you don't know him, he's a senator from Arizona.
I don't know him.
Okay. Well, he's a relatively new senator from Arizona.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So, did I hit them all? All right, so that's the Democrat bracket. Okay.
Right.
Now, over on the Republican side, okay, I can buy a lot of this.
Yeah.
Number 1 seed, no surprise, J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Vice president, outspoken, especially the last 2 months, all right? He's the 1 seed going up against number 16 seed Josh Hawley. Now, I find that interesting because I see Hawley on TV a lot.
Yeah, he is terrific.
Like, talking
heads. I don't see.
Really?
I don't think he wants to be president.
Oh, well, that's a distinct possibility.
I think he sees himself as more of the, attack dog role, where it's like, hey, we're going to dig into this stuff, and I think he kind of enjoys that, relishes the opportunity to be the one out there uncovering some of these schemes here on the other side. But
all right, number 2 seed Glenn Youngkin, who's the governor of Virginia.
I'm surprised.
Now, he's available because Virginia, again, you get elected governor, it's 1 term, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you get. You don't. There's no re-election in Virginia. You get 4 years and you're done. So he would be available, all right, if you will, going up against the 15 seed Doug Burgum, who's a former governor, North Dakota.
Now I like him.
He's Trump administration now. Let's see. The 3 seed is Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. Going up against 14 seed Elise Stefanik.
They have Kemp ahead of like DeSantis or Rubio or.
Hold that thought.
Huh.
Hold that thought.
I don't.
Let's see. The 4 seed Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's the governor of Arkansas, is the 4 seed. Again, we got a governor thing going on here.
Yeah.
All right.
No, there's something to be said. I could see her being a.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a little high.
Could be a force.
Against 13 seed Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina. Okay.
Seems a little low for
him. He's run before. Number 5 seed Marco Rubio, all right, who's now Secretary of State, against 12 seed Tom Cotton, who is a U.S. senator.
Where is Ron DeSantis on this list? Did they just forget about him?
6 seed is Ron DeSantis.
Oh, man.
He still has an unpopular vibe with the Trump bunch. Okay? So he's a 6 seed. Now, he'd be going up against number 11 seed Donald Trump Jr. I'm thinking, oh, no. Let's not do the family thing again, all right? No, please, no.
Yeah.
The number 7 seed, Greg Abbott, who is the governor of Texas.
Yeah.
Going up against number 10 seed, Kristi Noem, former governor. Now she's the Homeland Security Secretary. All right? Very interesting. And then the number 8 seed, Nikki Haley. Yes, she belongs on the list. All right. Again, former.
Might be a little high there.
A former governor.
Yeah.
Against number 9 seed Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. Now, I buy the Republican side more than the Democrat side. Democrat side, I'm like, some of these, like, Kamala Harris is a one seed? Seriously?
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's bull.
No, they need to.
That's total.
They need to rally around Kamala.
Josh Shapiro should be the number one seed on the Democrat side.
No,
it should
Kamala.
Be him. And yes,
Kamala or AOC.
It's
Come
interesting
on,
that,
get
that
it done.
Michelle Obama is not on this list. Which I find Stephen A. Smith made the list.
If we're gonna do that kind of stretch, then might as well.
It's like very. I mean, it's an interesting read. I'll try to follow to see. Again, I just printed out this bracket here. I don't know if they're gonna do. I assume they're gonna do actual. I don't know, voting or something. So I'll have to watch to see how that progresses. Folks, we're still 3.5 years out from this election. And yes, people are talking about it already. Oh my gosh. All right, let's take a break. Open line time. Something a little touchy, which we will come right back.
Is a Tuesday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We love hearing from you, and the phone line is open at 814-954-7266.
Anything you like, open line time. If you agree, disagree with that political bracket, all right, you have your chance to call in and speak your piece. All right, touchy. If you follow news, you saw this yesterday. Accident on Route 322.
Yeah.
Now, we were busy with our show yesterday, so I didn't see this till after we got off the air yesterday. And of course, my first thought was, oh no, here we go again. And then my thought, okay, where? There's official, like police or whatever do an official, pronouncement, or they write a report and so on. And it was, what was it labeled? The 5700 block of Mount Nittany Expressway. I'm like, where on earth is that? nobody knows where that is. Yeah. So I actually had to go online, look it up. 5700 block of Mount Nittany Expressway. Where is this? And of course I'm thinking, okay, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills. Here we go again. Now I did a little extra digging, found the 5700 block, and I did not go there yesterday, but I looked it up and I saw where it was and I thought, oh boy. It's the 2-lane stretch of road in Bowlesburg right before it becomes a 4-lane. And whatever happened, again, people are investigating, somebody in a pickup truck ended up in the wrong lane yesterday, 2-lane road, apparently in front of a tractor trailer. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Now at first it was reported, okay, several people were taken to the hospital. Later on we found out one person died in the accident. The person driving the pickup truck, apparently, which is horrible. I mean, that's just terrible. Several other people were injured, went to the hospital, but then apparently I found out later were released. I'm thinking, all right, well, that's good news. But again, here we go again. There were two things that jumped out at me about that yesterday. Now, first, when I first saw this, I'm thinking, okay, did a media person do this? And I read a little further. I'm like, no, this is the official report referred to this as a mass casualty event. Now, when I first saw that yesterday, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, a whole lot of people died. And as it turned out, now, again, tragically, it was one person. That term is a little over the top. Maybe if official people are listening, I mean, a lot of people read that headline yesterday morning or afternoon and thought, oh my gosh, a little over the top. Maybe another term should have been used, because that was my initial reaction. Like, oh man. Then I found out later, okay, yeah. And of course, the next thought was, okay, there it goes again. And we're all sitting and we're waiting for this new road. So I reached out yesterday to PennDOT because I'm thinking, hey, we haven't had a guest on in a long time talking about this new road. What's going on?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the local PennDOT office is over in Clearfield. And Eric Murniak, we've had on our show before. I reached out to Eric because I still have his information. First off, I'll mention Eric is going to join us on the program Monday morning next week. Because I said, can we get an update on, you know, where things are standing with the road right now?
Yep.
And he just confirmed it literally this morning. Okay, Monday morning. So we will talk with Mr. Murniak on Monday. He did send me sort of a paragraph, essentially like, here's where we are right now. Because, again, we're all, either if you live in that affected area, you know, the Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills, or the rest of us, again, we're just saying there's another one. That's another accident.
Yeah.
If it had been just a little further up the road when it became a split four lane, there would have never been an accident yesterday. Wouldn't have happened. And so it's just frustration, anger, whatever. It's just like, come on. So Mr. Murniak responded with this. Now, again, we're going to talk to him on Monday next week. He said, and I'm reading here now, we anticipate presenting revised alternatives, updated alternative effects, and preliminary results in the spring-summer of 2025. So in other words, coming up here shortly,
yeah,
these folks are going to be making some, or starting to make some determinations. All right, now I'm reading again. This process requires a great deal of coordination with the Federal Highway Administration. And when I read that, I'm thinking, oh, great, all the chaos in Washington right now, is that going to slow this up somehow to eventual, you know, completion? Because down there, it's like they're, well, if you follow news, you know what they're doing, cutting jobs here, what about money there? I haven't seen anything about the Federal Highway Administration, but it's something to keep an eye on. Coordination with the Federal Highway Administration to advance a recommended alternative. Remember, they have three right now. There are like three finalists. There, at one point, there was, what was it, 15 different routes, and they've narrowed it down to three. Now, the question is, what's going to be the one? Okay. So, again, we are working with them to identify a recommended alternative as soon as possible. And I have to wonder, after what happened yesterday, could this speed things up a little bit? Just, now granted, we've had guests on before. Whenever they finally make up their mind what they're going to do with this new road, it's going to take years to build, like 2030 or 2032, I think it is. I mean, this is way out, but it's like, come on, guys. Like, come on. The draft environmental impact statement, oh boy, that sounds like fun, will evaluate all three finalists, alternatives. That document will be available for public review and comment, because they have to do that. Following that statement, PennDOT and the Federal Highway Administration will then prepare a final environmental impact statement record of decision and then identify a selected alternative. In other words, the winner, the final choice. Okay. Is all of that going to get done by summer? All right. We'll see. Obviously, there's all these hoops you have to jump through. Again, impact statements, environmental this, environmental that. And, of course, all the affected people that live in that zone from, because all three of these finalists are all, they're not the same route, but they're darn close. All right? It's all roughly the same stretch. People have farms, homes in that area. You know, we know this, that when the final winner is chosen, there's going to be court cases. Someone's going to challenge. Someone's going to do something. No, 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 you can't do that. That's my land, or something like that. And I get it. I understand. So I assume the powers that be are fully expecting all of that to happen. All right, there's going to be court challenges and this and that and the whole nine yards. So we're going to see if we can get some more details from Mr. Murniak. He is scheduled to join us again Monday morning next week. All right, so we will look forward to that conversation. Condolences. I didn't see any other details about the person yesterday, but obviously condolences and so on. Yeah. And again, if you look at where it happened, if it went just a few more seconds down the road, it's a four-lane highway. I mean, usually these accidents are somewhere in the middle. This one yesterday was at the end. Now, why it happened, maybe investigators will figure out, you know, why did the truck cross the road and on the other side, and who knows? I don't know. Maybe they can't figure that out. But it just, I just think there it goes again. There's another one. So we're going to keep tabs on this to see what's going to happen. And we'll have Mr. Murniak again on Monday. I don't know. You have a thought or two or anything on there?
It is again. Yes. Regardless now, it's not going to be addressed quickly enough. But there's a lot that needs to be unpacked there. I mean, there just is. It's frustrating, but I also get it. We're coming right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Fox walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday. Nice looking Tuesday. Yeah, we got some stuff coming tomorrow. Darn it.
Wednesday.
I want nothing but spring and summer weather from here on out. But that's not what's happening. Tomorrow looks like a mess.
I don't know. This weekend is going to get warm again.
Yeah, this weekend. But we got to get through tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be...
It's a beautiful day.
Today.
All right. Today.
Tomorrow we got rain, some snow mixed in there.
Maybe.
Blah.
Maybe.
Blah.
There we go. All right, folks. About 10 or 12 minutes here.
With a capital B, if you're spelling out at home. Blah.
Thank you.
With a capital B.
Okay. 814-954-7266, if you'd like to just chime in on something. Let's see. All right. A couple things here. First off, boy, I miss the old days. And it's not just because I'm getting older. What did I have yesterday? I still have this dumb card here from PennDOT telling me I need to take a mature driver improvement course. Again, take out the word mature and put in the words old fart. Yes, you can get a 5% discount on your vehicle insurance after you pay the course fees.
Well.
It's like, okay, what? I'm not doing this. Now, I'm assuming I don't get in trouble for not doing this.
I don't think you get
Because, God forbid, I'm over the age... Well, here, it's actually over the age of 55. How old are you?
Hey now.
You're going to be getting one of these cards.
You hush up over
You just
there.
Wait, buddy.
Yeah, I've got to...
They're coming for you. Know your medications.
Just okay. A little over a month away. I'll be 56.
Oh!
What?
Know your medications. Okay. All right, now here's something to pay attention to.
All right.
Because this is starting today. And again, I miss the old days when you could just go a lot of places, but you could go to a hospital and just walk, like you have a friend who's at the hospital, maybe, you know, surgery or something, and you could just walk in and get on an elevator usually and go to their floor and visit them and all that sort of stuff. Okay? Not anymore. All right? Apparently starting today. Mount Nittany Health, Mount Nittany Medical Center, if you are 16 years of age or older, you have to check in now at any of the entrances. You have to check in, you have to show your identification, and you have to register yourself before you're allowed in the building. Okay. Now it says 16 or older. Now I'm just wondering if a 15-year-old shows up. I don't think they get the run of the place. All right, but it used to be you could just walk in, okay, my friend's on the third floor, get in an elevator. No, you can't do any of that stuff anymore. I'm reading a thing here. This policy change is designed to ensure a safe and secure environment for patients, visitors, and staff. And I'm thinking, has something happened over there that I'm not familiar with? Somebody started a fight or something that, if so, it didn't make the news. Visitors are encouraged to allow extra time for the check-in process. Well, okay, I guess. Mount Nittany Health appreciates the community's cooperation and patience as this new procedure is implemented. All right, well, of course, yeah, okay, I get it. No, that's fine. Just that I miss the old days when you could just walk in. You can't walk walk into a school anymore. Forget that. You can't just walk in. Now you've got to jump through hoops and have your ID and all this just...
There was a time,
yeah,
boys and girls, where you would go to the airport, they would open the door, and you would go out to your plane. Say, well, yeah, after a security... Yeah. No, you would go to the airport,
yeah.
They would open the door... You would walk out to your plane. That was the procedure. You'd hand them a ticket, of course.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to take off your shoes.
Yes.
Didn't have to take off your jacket. Didn't have to screen anything. And again, I get it with all of it, but I'm with you. It is.
I miss the old days.
And it is all because a couple of incidents. And again, in this particular case, I'm not saying it's not worth it, not the right thing or the smart thing to do, but also, like, 99.9% of the people that are going onto these planes, that are going into these schools, that are going, they're just there to... it's intended to do, not with, and, but because there's a percentage, very small though it may be, it's like, yep, we got to go through all of this rigmarole. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Second time around, guys. Hey, Scott, I can remember the time when you weren't allowed to just walk out of a school.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I was there with pellet guns.
All right, here's a story. When I was a kid, now I didn't grow up around here, but this is over 40 years ago. The high school I went to, across the street was a small grocery market. All right.
Okay. You know,
and at lunchtime, sometimes students would leave the building, cross the street to the grocery market, get some food from over there, because they didn't like the cafeteria or whatever.
What?
Nobody raised an eyebrow. Nobody. Of course, I remember, now again, this is, oh boys, this is like ancient history. I had a couple of buddies who, you know, when they were in high school, they had a driver's license and they had a pickup truck with a gun rack in the back of the pickup truck with a gun in the rack.
Today,
that would get you thrown in prison.
Yeah.
Back then, it's like nobody cared.
You know? I used to wear a sidearm.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, they frowned on it, that, you know, who was going to take it from you? but you know, yeah, I can distinctly remember. There wasn't any such thing as so-called cutting class and stuff. And Jeff would remember this. The last thing you wanted to do was get caught doing something like that, particularly if you were an athlete, because that gets you out of practice, that gets you losing your starting position, and next thing you know, you're a bum like me. So, but at any rate, I'm considerably older than either of you, and I distinctly remember. My God, if you even laid your hand on the crash bar to go outside, the hall police were there somewhere, you know. If you didn't get shot, you at least get handcuffed. So, it's much different than it used to be. I mean, now if you feel like going to class in high school, I guess you go. If you don't, you don't. And, obviously the Penn State influence has a lot to do with that, because some of the rural schools now pretty well assured that you don't just go and come and go as you please, but it's certainly much different.
Yes, it is.
That is for sure.
Yes, it is.
Appreciate the phone call. Again, we'll open up the phone line here at 814-954-7266.
And I tell you what, if you haven't walked into a school office recently, like you don't have kids or something like that, every school office now has a big video board filled with little clips from webcams or whatever all over the building. I mean, granted, okay, safety I get. We never did that stuff in the old days. Now, maybe it was because of technology, okay, but still, it's just,
yeah.
I miss the old days. I really do.
Well, let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
I miss the old days, too, and I'm really a lot older than all of you. But anyhow, a couple of things. First of all, I ask you guys to do me a favor. The next time you have one of our state representatives on the program.
It'll be Thursday.
If they would sponsor legislation to make people drive with their lights on in Pennsylvania.
You mean always with the lights on?
Absolutely, always.
Hmm. Why is this?
First of all, I drive school bus, okay?
Okay.
I'm driving school bus sometimes early in the morning, later in the day, and people are driving without their lights, and sometimes it's very, very difficult to see them.
Yeah.
And it's a bugaboo of mine. So I that's a favor that I do ask, if you guys would ask them if they would or why they wouldn't do that, okay?
Yep.
Most cars today have their lights on automatically anyhow. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
That's the favor I have to ask. Okay. Second of all, Jeff, I did have the opportunity because I had to be away to listen to your broadcast the other day, and quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, I always enjoy listening to you do the wrestling. I think you do them a great favor, and you do a great job with that. So, bye. Well,
thank you very much. It is truly, I am beyond blessed to have the opportunity to do it, so I sincerely appreciate the kind words.
Yeah. Now, the next kind word won't be as kind to you.
All right.
On a different perspective. And you made a comment this morning that doesn't sit well with me when you thought that Joe Biden was a despicable person, president. So I'm just going to add my side of that. I think the president person is equally, if that's the way you need to put it, as despicable. This guy doesn't treat human beings like they should be treated, in my opinion. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
okay.
you guys. I like your program. I think you do a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. Right. No, I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks.
And, yeah,
cool.
We could have different perspectives. There are some people I know. I mean, this is all second and third hand stuff, I will say. I think people would be surprised to learn some of the interactions that the president has, the current president, has had with other folks and the kindness and the generosity with which he treats them. And again, this is both parties for sure, but to me, Joe Biden, more than any other politician, listen, are there some things that if you look into Donald Trump's past and the way he handled some real estate deals and shortchanged some folks, I'm with you 100%. I think there were acts there in his life that were, I would agree with the word, despicable. I also think he knows how the system works, or in our opinion, doesn't work, and he knows how to root this stuff out. And I think that's what has people in D.C. scrambling. I think Joe Biden knows how everything works, and he knew how to leverage everything for personal gain. And I think when you look at his family and the riches that they have, and you look at the salary that he earned as a senator, it ought to be raising questions for you about, well, that doesn't make sense. That literally doesn't add up, how he would have the fortunes that he does. Well, there's a reason for it. And again, I think corruption at its highest level. And I think it's been proven at this point. I mean, I don't think it's debatable. But just one man's opinion here.
All right.
We will be back tomorrow. That I am pretty sure of. It'll be a Wednesday show, I guess. I try to do a Thursday. Have a great Tuesday.